Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And it's Wednesday night, our favorite night. Time to answer questions for our listeners. And I have Michael P. with me. Michael,
hello.
How are you?
I'm doing wonderful this evening. It's amazing how your mood changes when the weather changes.
Yeah, it's beautiful outside, isn't it? And it's wonderful to feel the warmth out there and say goodbye to winter. And so far, we've had three relatively good winters. I mean, you might say that we had a little bit of problems this year, but it was nothing really compared to some
we've
had.
It was a terrible winter. I have all this snow removal equipment, and I can't use it. I need an ROI on my investments.
You got to play with it a few times this year,
yep.
You know, but it was more ice and stuff than it was snow.
Yep.
And that's bad. You can't deal with that stuff. Anyway, we're on an open show as usual tonight, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question and be a part of the show and say, hey, this is the direction I want to direct the conversation tonight, because if you answer this for me, it would be really beneficial. And so that's why I'm going to call in and ask. And you know what? There's probably 15, 20, 30 other people out there listening and saying, yeah, you know, I'd like to hear the answer to that question too. But they're not the kind of people they're going to call in. So do them a favor also and call and ask your question, 410-922-6680. And I'm going to do the favorite thing that my producer likes, put on my glasses so I see whose name I am hitting the thing for. And it is Lee in North Baltimore. Lee, how can we help you?
Oh, good. I'm power of attorney for my mother, and a relative is interested in buying the house that she moved out of. And I'm just wondering, with due diligence, do I need to get an appraiser? And if so, can you recommend somebody?
So you would, you know, if you're going to do it righteously as a fiduciary of the power of attorney for your mother, right? Your mother?
Right.
Is that who you said? And you got a relative that wants to buy it. Yes, you need an appraisal to be able to show any family members who question your motives that you got a fair market price.
So that fiduciary, that term that Drew used for your position, that means you have the fiduciary duty to the beneficiaries, which means you have to act in their best interest.
That's his mother. And also the other family members who would ultimately
inherit her assets
and
right.
so forth. So. You know, so yeah. That's a duty you have to her and then to her residual beneficiaries.
And can you suggest anybody or how I go about finding the right one?
Well, I mean, do you have any real estate agents that you know?
Not closely, no.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't have. Do you have an appraiser you use?
Well, the thing is, now that with all mortgages, you have to use a randomized appraiser.
Yeah, but that's not in this situation.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying is, because of that, we don't know appraisers anymore. Because it's whatever one you get.
You don't mean them? Yeah, but you can. There's an appraiser association. You can just go on there and find somebody, or do a Google search and see what reviews there are on them and so forth. You know, it's
okay.
I unfortunately don't refer to appraisers, real estate appraisers, very often.
Okay.
And it shouldn't cost you more than $400, $500, $600 maximum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, all right, buddy.
All right.
You know, another thing you could do, Lee, and this certainly wouldn't be a bad thing to do, is just get a real estate agent and say, you know, if you were going to put this house up for sale, what price tag would you put on it? And then, you know, knowing that you're not going to have to pay commissions, et cetera, you know, you can work out a deal with the buyer. You know, unless you have a combative relative, that would be a fine way to do it without going through the full effort of doing an appraisal.
Okay.
All right.
Good idea, too. All right. Thank you.
Take care, buddy. Bye.
Bye.
All right, where are we? We're Joe in Baltimore City. Joe, how can I help you?
Hi, sir. I've spoken with you a few other times. Always been very helpful, including encouraging me, and I did set up a Roth IRA.
Good. We were going to talk about that tonight.
For the encouragement. That sounds good. I'll be listening.
All right.
And then the other thing is I'm 66, March 31st, just turned 66. And before you encouraged me to wait till I was 70 to take, it's about a $500, $500 to $600 difference when I'm 70. But it's and you're probably going to tell me the same thing, but with all this crazy stuff going on, they're talking about another $3 trillion. They give you all these fears about Social Security not being there. But do you still feel the same way? I'm not holding you to it, but that I should wait till I'm 70, maybe.
Are you married or single?
I'm married.
Are you in both good health, and you expect to live 85, 90 years of age?
Yeah. I think I might live to be 100, to be honest with you.
Okay, and your spouse?
Good.
Okay.
Good shape.
Do you have lots of other assets that you can live on, or are your assets?
No, it would. I'm still working. And
okay.
I have a between my job and my wife's job, we're making ends meet.
And how old are you right now?
I'm 66.
And how many more years are you going to work?
As long as I can. Probably.
Well, then you know, if you took
as long as I can,
if you collected Social Security, I can't understand why you would do that, because all you're going to do is pay taxes on it. You know, you're going to take Social Security. Let's say you get $35,000. Let's say you get $32,000 right now, and you collect it, and then you pay taxes on it. So you're going to pay taxes on it and lose 25%, and well, maybe not 25%, maybe 20% at least in taxes on it. Instead, you could just leave it there, and it'll grow 8% a year tax-free. And then when you're 70 and it's not going to grow anymore, you can take it out, and you're going to get 32% more money in 4 years than taking it right now and paying taxes at the rate of 20% a year for the next 4 years on it. So.
Well, I pay taxes in 4 years. I'll be paying taxes too, right?
Yes, in 4 years you will, but you'll have a larger sum of money.
Right.
Whereas okay. if you took that money and invested it, there are a lot of people say, "Oh, take the money and invest it." But you know, they always miss the full analysis. If you take all the taxes into consideration, it's not that great a deal. So, you know, I personally would I wait. You know. That's what I'm planning to do. I'm planning to work for quite a long time. All right, my
especially,
friend?
Especially since I can still work.
Yeah, if you're working, I don't understand why anybody would take Social Security unless they or their spouse was in ill health and you felt that life expectancy would be an issue. All right?
All right, that's very – all right, sir. I'm going to be talking to them in the next week or two, so that's very helpful. Thank you, sir.
All right, take care, Joe. We got to go to a traffic break, but we're on an open show tonight. Lines are totally open, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I should have known you bid me farewell.
Chris, the producer, is trying to get on my good side right now. There you go. You never know. Next thing you know, he'll be playing the Green Beret after this, too. Anyway, we're here on Open Show tonight, and if you'd like to call and direct the conversation, feel free to call in and 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680 if you want to call and ask a question. We've got a couple people online, so we're going to go to them right away, unless you had something you wanted to talk about, Mikey.
No, let's get to the callers.
All right. Steve in Pikesville, how can we help you?
Hey, I just had a question about my 401k.
Okay.
So I've changed jobs a few times recently, so I have a few 401ks from older employers. Just wondering if I should be rolling it over to something else or just leaving it where it is right now.
Okay, so that's a complicated question. So let me try to give you the way to think about that, okay? So first off, tell me, do you make well over, are you single or married?
Married.
You're married. Do you make well over husband and wife together, well over 200,000 or so?
It's over. Probably like 250 or so.
Okay. So the first thing you want to do is probably think about keeping it in a 401k plan and not rolling it out to an IRA. That would open up the door for you to do what are called non-deductible IRAs, which would allow you to then do a Roth conversion, which is a very good thing for somebody like yourself who can't do a Roth in and of your own income, which has to be under $198,000. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, any of the old 401ks you have company stock in them?
I don't think so.
Okay, if none of them have company stock, in other words, if you worked for like McCormick & Company, they allow you to have McCormick stock in their 401k. You never want to move a company 401k plan until you have somebody with tax knowledge to look at what's called net unrealized depreciation. So if you don't have stock in your 401k, then you don't need to worry about that. And the next step would be, unless you have a unique investment in one of those old 401ks, I would strongly recommend that you consolidate them all into your current 401k plan.
We can't tell you how many people we find that have forgotten accounts and lost accounts.
Yeah. You don't want that to ever happen. You don't want them to lose track of where you are. And then what happens is your account gets escheated to the state of Maryland or wherever state you're in, and you got issues to deal with. So just get it consolidated. But you have to think all these pieces out, and you don't want to do it with somebody who's going to try to sell you a product. So that's very important, you know, because most financial advisors will say, well, you want to roll it over to an IRA. Well, that's only logical. And they'll give you all kinds of reasons for that. Well, that's a little bit of an economic bias for them to say that. So be careful of that, my friend. All right.
Okay. So you're saying roll it over to my new one for now and
roll it over to your new one is the general answer I'm giving you with what we've done on the radio here. But you have to consider, do I have any company stock, before you do that rollover? Do you have any unique investments in any of those other plans? And if the answer is no, then yes, roll it to your new company plan and consolidate it all there, okay?
And what was the other thing you were talking about, the first thing about doing
non-deductible?
Non-deductible IRA. That's a unique thing for people who make more than $200,000. And if you want to do a Roth contribution, that's a way you would do it. But that's a very tricky thing. You want to make sure you have somebody with good tax knowledge before you try to do that. All right? I got to run.
Thanks.
All right, Drew, it looks like we still have Mark from Catonsville on the line.
All right. We'll go to Mark in Catonsville then. Mark in Catonsville, how can we help you?
Yeah, I was listening to your commercial, and you're saying a net worth of $5 million. And does that mean you have so much in your IRA with your real estate? And what does the net actually mean?
That means, you know, if you add up your 401ks, your IRAs, your Roths, your brokerage account, your bank account.
Gold bullion in the basement.
Your gold bullion in the basement, your house, your life insurance policies. So let's say you're worth $4 million, but you have $3 million of life insurance. Your net worth $7 million if you die. So that's the kind of thing we're generally talking about. And why did we choose 5 million? The answer is because Maryland is after you if you have 5 million or more. And Joe is going to likely try to get the estate exemption for married couples, well, for anyone, down to 5 or 6 million is the theoretical number everyone thinks he'll go for. But Bernie wants him to go all the way down to $3.5 million.
But based on current law, it's only going down to $5 million each.
$6 million when you inflate it out. Yeah. So you know, that's why we're using the term $5 million. You have to be very cautious because if you have that kind of a net worth, you know, government's after you. And Maryland wants 16% of it. Federal government right now wants 40% of it. But Bernie is saying that if you have over $3.5 million, it'll start at something like 40%. But depending on how much over, you could go as high as 70% tax of anything over his preconceived number. So,
Like in the Reagan years, it was high or whatever, like that 90%, but there were so many ins and outs that you could do legally to...
There are, but a lot of those ins and outs are being closed, and actually that's part of the proposal, again, is to close some of the things that state attorneys do to minimize what your net worth is. And so... You got to be careful. They're talking about doing away with grits and grats, and they're talking about, you know, discounts and all the
capital
kind of
cool,
all the kind of cool things, capital gains, and the cool things we would do as estate planners. They're talking about trying to shut the doors on all that.
But some doors are open today, and that's why we're focusing on those folks.
Why you need to be focused on knowing you have somebody with tax expertise helping you as soon as possible. All right, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Good question. Nobody's on the line right now, so let's just tell everyone we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. And what Mark was talking about there is we do a commercial saying that if you have $400,000 in income or a net worth of $5 million or more, those are the people that President Biden is saying that he wants to target to try to raise the money for this $2 trillion here and $2 trillion there, et cetera. And it could be a big price tag. And you're going to need quality tax advice as you go into these latter years as our country continues to spend and tax and borrow and spend and tax and borrow and et cetera, et cetera. You're going to need financial advisors who have tax expertise. And that's what I think the public is going to find, Mike, is that they're going to realize that a general financial advisor who just sells investments is going to be of no worth in the future. They're going to need people that have estate knowledge, tax knowledge, and comprehensive financial advice knowledge. And and so I think that's going to become more and more important in the future. Anyway, we're on an open show. If you want to call in, lines are totally open, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680 right now. I've got to go to another traffic pause.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show tonight. That means you, the listener, I keep hitting that thing. I hate that. That means you, the listener, are our guests, and you get to determine the direction of the conversation, and you get to say, this is what I want you to talk about, because if you help me with this, this would be extremely beneficial to me. And so if you want to call in and ask that question, 410-922-6680, just like Jim in Kearney is doing right now. So we're going to go to him. How about that?
Sounds good.
That sounds like a good plan. Let's do that. Jim and Carney, how can we help you, Jim?
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I have a same question a couple callers ago asked. My wife's 57, just started a job with the government,
Okay. Which government?
Well, the U.S. government.
Oh, that government.
Okay. With the veterans.
Okay, go ahead.
So, don't know much about the TSP accounts, and I was kind of wondering if she should roll her money into a TSP account or like the...
Where's her money currently?
Fidelity in a 401 or 403B.
Okay, 403Bs don't ever have company stock, and there's usually never a unique investment. So 403B would be a good thing to roll into the TSP to keep it consolidated. You know, but the question I'd ask you first, like I did the last person, was do you guys make over $200,000 or more?
No, we don't.
Okay, so now that's an interesting statement right there. Do you have any reasons that you would be sued in the future? In other words, do either you or your spouse have a profession that carries personal responsibility? Is she a doctor or a nurse?
She is a nurse. She's a nurse.
Is she a nurse that carries personal responsibility for what she does? Some nurses can. No.
She does not carry.
She does not carry personal liability. So, you know, like a financial advisor, a doctor, a lawyer, they all carry personal liability. So even though the financial consulate is a corporation,
we're individually liable.
We are individually liable if we do something to harm a client of ours. We cannot hide behind the corporate shield, okay? Whereas most companies' employees can hide behind their company shield of a corporation. A personal professional like a lawyer, a doctor, a financial advisor cannot hide behind a corporate shield. So your wife, if she doesn't carry personal liability, then you don't have to worry about that. The last question would be, is there any reason that you would ever need to take a loan against the money in her 403B? Do you think you would ever do that or have a need to do that?
No, there would not be. She also has actually two 403Bs that I want to merge together.
Yeah, so now listening to his answers, Mike, I would tend to say he probably would want to go to an IRA, not the TSP.
Have more control.
And if you go to somebody like Vanguard, your fees are going to be almost as low, if not lower, than the TSP is going to be. Probably not lower, but darn close.
Yeah.
You would have far more control, far more flexibility of investment choices than the TSP. So that's what I would do in your situation.
One last question. How about the max that you can – now, she maxes out her 403B now.
Same number.
It is the same.
Same number, but here's the good thing: in the TSP, she gets an automatic 5% match if she puts in at least 5%. Also,
right.
So if she does the max, she's going to do the max plus 5% more of her salary in the TSP. Here's another thing I would suggest: I'd suggest she do a large portion of her contribution toward the Roth. For a TSP plan. Are you familiar with the difference between the Roth and the traditional TSP?
I'm familiar with the Roth before tax, you know, that'll come out taxed after tax.
They're the reciprocal of each other, right? The traditional goes in before tax and comes out taxable. The Roth goes in after tax and comes out tax-free. Well, at the thrift savings plan with the federal government, you have the right to do either traditional or Roth up to $26,000. You could do it all in one or the other, or you can do any combination of the two up to $26,000, assuming your wife's over 50, like you said you were 50-some years old yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
57.
Yeah. So you can do up to $26,000 in the TSP, either traditional or Roth, and I'm suggesting she do a large portion of what she's going to do in the Roth and give up the tax deduction because you will not regret accumulating money in tax-free Roth. And keep in mind, right, the 5% match of the government's always going pre-tax. And you probably have a bunch of pre-tax money already accumulated. Go Roth with her contributions, my friend.
Okay.
Go Roth, my friend, go Roth.
Yeah, go West and go Roth. All right?
Okay, go Orioles.
Yeah, you got a lot of hope right there, my friend, don't you?
We're open.
Take care, Jim. Good question.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, go ahead, Mike.
Well, you tell, remind them we're on an open show.
We are on an open show.
So you can be the
show.
Guest. We don't have any callers. The lines are open. You know, give us a call. Get it. Get your question answered. Help others. Others have the same question you
and what's
have.
What's that number, Mikey? 410-922-680.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
410-922-6680.
But what I was jumping to jump into is I wanted to jump back to, since there's no callers right now, I wanted to jump into what Mark was talking about. Mark was asking the question about net worth, the $5 million, why it's important. And you were talking about how important it is that an advisor has both a really strong background in tax, as well as the investments, as well as estate. And estate is something I was talking to you about just before we started the show, because it is amazing to me, not surprising, but it's amazing how many people make an estate plan and say, well, that's good, I'm done.
Yeah.
And they go 5 years, 10 years or more, and they don't even necessarily remember what they did. And then when you read them to them, this is what you've done, they say, oh, no, I don't want that sister in control of that. We don't even talk anymore. That'd be terrible. Well, you need to. It's important to review that plan. And that's also something that we help with, is we make sure we cue clients for let's review that plan.
Well, you know, when our clients come in, Mike, every time our clients come in, we review their beneficiaries on their IRAs and Roths and other accounts. OK. And we review these beneficiaries with our clients probably once a year. And do you realize that every year, we probably change 20% of all of our beneficiary designations for our clients every year because a child got married and their name changed. A child fell out of favor and they, you know, want to do something different. Somebody died and they're no longer a beneficiary anymore.
There was a problem with a relationship.
There's a problem with, you know, with
now there is a problem.
Whatever. And it, but it's amazing how often we change those beneficiaries for our clients, and yet many people do exactly what you say. They go in, they write an estate plan, they put a beneficiary down on a 401k or an IRA, and they never ever think about it again.
Yeah.
And that's a mistake. Big mistake.
And the other thing, and that people talk about this, whenever someone dies, try to avoid making big decisions fast unless you have to. And the reason that they say that is because you don't really make good decisions when you're really emotional. When there's a lot of emotional attachment, that's when you tend to make your worst decisions. And that sometimes happens when a client's going through estate planning and they're really coming off the heels of their most recent interactions with family members.
Sure.
And, you know, you let a little time go by. You know what? I really didn't want to disinherit that kid.
Right.
I just want to leave it in trust and let his brother, you know, do something. Or you know, no, it wasn't right for me to cut out that family member or whatever it is.
The point is you don't have to change everything every year.
Right.
But you just have to think about it once a year.
Now, the attorney doesn't mind if you want to change everything once a year.
No, the attorney won't mind that. But we're on an open show, Mike, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, we're going into our last pause of the night. So if you have a question, a burning question, you better ask it now, because there's another three or four people out there that want to hear that question, and they're not going to call in. So do them a favor and call in and ask your question, 410-922-6680. Right now, we're going to let traffic take it away. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE. or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We have callers on the line, so we're going to jump right to them. Never heard Green Beret, though, but that's okay. I still like you, Chris. Don't worry about it. Anyway, we're here with Kathy in Westminster. Kathy, what can we do for you?
Well, we have a financial advisor right now. Haven't had him for a long time, and I don't have any particular issues with them, but they aren't necessarily tax advisors at the same time, and I was just wondering, is it kosher to kind of shop around after you're with somebody, and is it difficult to change from one advisor to another?
Well, that's a great question, but it's an interesting one, too, and the answer is yes, maybe, and could be. I don't know if I got that in the right order, though, Mike, you know, but you see, the problem with this industry is you get somebody come in, they tell you they're a financial advisor, and they give you a bunch of stuff, and you trust them, and then you come to somebody like us that's a fee-only advisor, and we say, you know, Kathy, there's nothing we can do because these guys sold you these commission-based products, and they have deferred sales charges on them, and they've got this, and they've got that. There's no way we could make any changes to what you've done now, because if you do, you're only going to hurt yourself, you know, so that the answer to your question is it depends on who you're working with, what they've done, and so forth. But the answer to your question is our concept at our firm is free to come, free to go. You come to us for a month and you say, you guys are a bunch of goofs, I don't want to work with you anymore. We say, free to come, free to go. And you're able to leave, no fees, no issues,
no
surrender charges, no nothing. Just feel free to leave. You know, we're disappointed, but we're going to help you.
We want to work with people that want to work with us.
We like to say we bless you on the way in, and we'll bless you on the way out if you feel like you don't want to work with us. So that's the way it should be. But unfortunately, this industry will intimidate you, will try to manipulate you, will hit you with surrender charges.
Rely on relationship versus advice.
Yeah, rely on the relationship and try to intimidate you with the relationship. Don't you think I'm a nice guy? You know, what the heck? What are you doing? You know, these guys don't know what they're talking about, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I mean, that's the way the industry is. It's very sales-oriented, unfortunately, and we're trying to get it to become much more professional. Like a doctor. Doctors don't do that to us.
Yeah. And there are good tax advisors out there that are tax accountants. But the problem is when there's a disconnect between the two, it's a timing issue. How do you make sure that you get the right advice when you can still make action on it?
Yeah.
And after you file your return, it is too late.
Yeah.
And during the year, before you get to your accountant, it is too late.
Sometimes it can be. Yeah, you got to do things early. So, Kathy, I hope that answers your question.
Sure. I guess that we just reach out to you. And then when you know our particulars, then you can tell us whether or not it makes sense.
Yeah, we actually do an intro, which is just, you know, give us some specifics about what you're looking for, what's going on. And then we could tell you right there. And if we need to go further, we can do the full financial physical and figure out what's going on, tell you exactly what's going on. And again, if we can't do anything to help you, we're not going to charge you for the financial physical. That's our guarantee to everyone. So to demonstrate what true professional financial advice is all about. All right, Kathy?
Wonderful.
Good
Thank
question.
You.
We're going to Rick in Ellicott City. Rick, how can we help you?
Yes. We live in a continuing care retirement community. And
cool.
I struggle trying to figure out how much of our fees to deduct as medical expense.
Are you independent or are you assisted living or what?
Independent.
Go ahead, Mikey. You know this better than I do.
Yes, I do. So depending on which facility you're at, some of them do a really good job. Some of them don't do as good of a job. Some of them just refuse to tell you. If they refuse to tell you, it is really hard for you to take a deduction that you feel like you can stand behind if the IRS questions it. For many of the facilities in the area, I'll give a shout out to Mercy Ridge. Mercy Ridge delivers a letter each year saying this is the portion of your, and depending on where you were in the facility, this is the portion of your fees that are determined long, medical benefits.
If you're independent.
Even if you're independent.
I know, even if you're independent.
You know, there's that, like, iPad thing in your room and the call help button. All of that kind of goes into
normally,
those.
Though, I think, Mike, it's about 5% if you're independent. It can get up to as high as 10%, maybe.
Okay. I can't speculate, but go ahead.
Oh, come on, Mike. You know, you can speculate.
I like letters. I like proof of deduction.
Yeah, but, you know, if I wanted to, I could easily say I'm paying for this call button in my room. I'm paying for the whatever that I get.
A little bit of art, a little bit of science.
You know, and you can take a deduction. If you're an independent, you can take a small deduction without any problem. If it was assisted living, then they have to start giving it to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then if you're chronic, and then you can take the whole thing if you have chronic illness. So, yeah, I hear you, Rick. It's a problem, as Mike was pointing out, if your facility isn't helping you. All right?
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. That's a great question. Now, if it's a life care facility, it even becomes more interesting. You know what a life care facility is? You're going to explain that after we talk to John in Joppa. John, how can we help you?
Hi, gentlemen. I have an LLC. It's a real estate investment. And I don't take a salary.
Okay.
But I do have a company healthcare plan. So if I were to establish a SEP IRA, could I use the healthcare benefit that I take in lieu of salary as a basis for contributing to the SEP IRA?
The LLC is not in your IRA, right?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
So what he's saying is, can you have to have income earnings that are subject to Social Security taxation is a general rule that you can use to determine whether you have the ability to contribute to an IRA or a Roth each year.
In box one of your W-2 or in the self-employment income of your pass-through entity?
Right. Well, box one, but then it also has to be supported by box three and five.
Right. I'm
well,
sorry.
Three.
That's correct. Three.
Three is the key one, too. But yeah.
You show income on your tax return that's getting taxed at the self-employment income level, that'll count. But unfortunately, I think if you're doing a good job on your taxes, you're not paying anything on those.
But you could potentially do it, couldn't he? If he had taken
a self-employed medical.
For an LLC taxes an S-Corp, but then that wouldn't be subject to the Social Security taxation, so that would be a problem, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he's going to be taking that front-page deduction.
Yeah, you got to get it.
I wouldn't be taking any sort of deductions or Social Security taxes or anything like that.
If you're not paying Social Security tax and you're not paying self-employment SE tax, then you're probably not going to be able to get a deduction.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of what I thought. But you guys
always worth a try.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you guys are the experts.
You know, I wish we had an angle for you there, my friend.
Yeah, that's what I'm always looking for, is an angle.
You know, you could do is just subject $10,000 of your income to profit, and you pay SE tax on it, and that $10,000 would make you eligible for $7,000 at least of the Roth IRA or traditional.
I mean, you
got to
look at where your tax rate is and if you're hitting any other bumps, but if you're below, say, what, $100,000,
right,
it's probably worth it.
Yeah, and it all depends on how much Social Security you've accumulated also. So anyway, it's a complicated question, but that's the best I can tell you, my friend. All right?
All right.
Take care. You. Good question. So, Mike, life care facility, so he was in a CCRC. Right. What do you think of a life care facility? You
Well, tell everybody what the life care facility is, and you tell them about the deduction. So the life care facility is where you go in and you pay a stable value, and whatever level of care you need, they're going to elevate your care level to do, and you're going to keep at that same price point.
Right, and because the long-term care is built into your monthly premium, there is a larger portion, and it usually is up to 30-some% of the monthly rent that you're paying.
Yeah, so you're going to get more earlier of a deduction when you probably have more income.
That's true. But that's a life care facility, and that's one where you're paying, let's say, $6,000 a month, and no matter what level of care you have, it's going to be around $6,000 a month. Not like the one he's probably in, where he might be paying $3,000 a month. He goes to the next level, he's at $8,000. He goes to the next level, he's at $15,000.
And when you look at life care facilities, you really want to look at their financial stability.
Yes, absolutely. That's a whole discussion in and of itself.
Life care. Turn the music on. It must be over.
I think this is James Taylor. Yeah, you know, I don't know the name of the song, though, believe it or not.
You don't have time to think of it.
And I don't have time to think of it. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. What I'd like to do.